Yeah, Ricardo, we couldn't assess him on Monday because we were indoors. So we got Ricardo up and he's been training down at West Ham. Obviously played a lot of football under Sam Allardyce and Neil McDonald, the coach down there. And we got tipped off that there was a potential that West Ham weren't going to take him on. And I wanted to have a look at Ricardo, obviously, living in the Bolton area, seen him quite a lot as a left winger, come left back. And I felt that he could do a good job for us as that left wing back position. So I just wanted to sort of either put it to bed or do something about it. We've watched him. He trained yesterday. He's trained today and he's going to have an assessment tomorrow. And then we'll make a decision probably early next week. But it's one I'm not going to rush into. It was just a chance that we could have a look at Ricardo and see if he fits into the squad. What was excellent was he was in the change room after the game Saturday. I felt it was really important that Ricardo come and see, you know, it's a bit like we did with Jason Scotland. Come and see if you want to be a part of this. You know, we are where we are in the league. Come and feel it for yourself. Don't just take a paper and see where we are in the league. Try and feel it and experience it for yourself. So he did that very positively Tuesday, Wednesday. So I've not seen enough of him yet, but we're going to open the games up, go on bigger games and see what his endurance base is like and take it from there. He's a technician. You know, he's got Premier League quality. He's got Premier League style. And but, you know, when players get to that age, you just want to make sure that they can do, you know, a bit like Jason Scotland. He's got 60, 70 minutes in him, and then he's not got that endurance base, but we never expected him to because of where he's come from and where he's not trained. So he's probably in a similar shape, but again, we don't want to do too much and then he gets injured. It's sort of a catch-22 situation we're in with Ricardo, but we don't need to rush it, and that's the important thing.
Have you got any sort of eyes in the fire in terms of loan deals as well? Are you looking in that market at the moment?
Well, without a doubt, we've not stopped, you know, since we took the job. I love recruitment. I love what it represents. And we've just not stopped. You've got to uncover. You've got to go through a lot of work, a lot of research. And we're getting there. Made a lot of phone calls on a centre-half last week. And that could come to fruition. You see, everyone's resetting and seeing where they are. There's a lot, obviously, fighting relegation. Mm. We've got another steal on a player that... if the result goes the right way for this certain team, we've got a choice of and a chance of possible recruiting. If they feel they got safe, you know, they've done their own points tally and they'll feel they're safe. So, you know, there's a lot more teams this season either vying for promotion, vying for the top two, vying to get in the playoffs. It seems in the Championship that everybody's got something at stake. There's not five or six teams who are just playing out the season. You know, I watched the Burnley game the other night and even them, Burnley felt they had the chance of sort of stealing a playoff place. So, it's a peculiar season in the Championship. You usually get a lot more freedom and movement in years gone by, but I think because there's so much to play for, whether you're going up or down out of the league, it's made it quite difficult to recruit out of the Champ this season. The Premiership's very difficult to recruit out of. All you're getting at this stage of the season is young players who are playing under 21s, and I watch a hell of a lot of the under 21s games, and believe me, it's just kids football with a wig on. So you're getting players that they're not ready for the relentless Saturday, Tuesday, which it's going to represent, you know. And I'm mindful of the games that are coming up. Certainly Cardiff, Leicester and Crystal Palace in a week. And kind of kid who we just plucked from a Liverpool reserves, an Everton reserves, cope with that? The answer's no.
So you need experience more than anything because it is such a crucial stage now, isn't it?
Without a doubt, you know, you saw Rory's intelligence and experience that he played that, you know, as a right back the other night. And it'd be great to get two players who's got Champ experience under the belt. And like I said, things might just loosen off over the next 10 days. That's what we're probably trying to commit to. But a lot of homework's going into looking for recruits.
In terms of the game the other night, I mean, it's only one game, it is one victory, but how important could that save from Luke Steele be just to get another win on the board there, that penalty save?
It's as important as Daggers' penalty for me, you know, to score that penalty against an absolute human machine, which is Kuzyak. It was an incredible, you know, goal he scored. And then Steele's save, we spoke about it a few weeks back, you know, that's what I'm after from Steele. Captain's saves, captain's catches, captain's blocks, and being real dominant. And, you know, Steele's an incredible shot stopper. Incredible. And you fancy him. People won't understand the time, the detail that Steely himself is in the office looking at penalties all the time. He does his homework on them, and people just think it's an instinctive save. It's not. It's detail on the training ground. Luke and Ian Wilcott, you know, put a lot of time into that. So, you know, you get your rewards, and Steely did, and the team did. But it was a great victory to add on to the other ones and to give us now 20 points out of 10 league games. I think it's incredible form.
And it goes to show again, I suppose, the fine margins in the Championship. Mm. A penalty scored, a penalty saved. You know, for both clubs, it has consequences, doesn't it?
You know, before the game, we'd have took a draw. There's no doubt about that against a promotion-chasing team. No doubt about that. The hurt that I felt early on in the season when they beat us and absolutely schooled us down at Brighton, that was something that we went into the game. But we did have to win the game. But if you can't win it, then we had an opportunity to draw it. So I'd have been delighted with a point. But to get all three gets us nearer the points total. Not that I set the team, but I said, let's get to 40 as quick as we can. When we first took the job, we need to get to 40 points. Mm. And then see where that takes us. Reset after that and refocus. And it was a milestone that we had to get to mentally as quick as we could. We've done that in probably record time. And from when we set off on this adventure. And we're there now, so we've reset again. And we'll go again tomorrow. And we're just looking forward to tomorrow's game now.
Perhaps I'm looking too far ahead here, but when there is sort of just two or three games left, do you still think there'll be as many teams as there is now, sort of maybe even still looking over the shoulder that there could be sort of seven or eight teams in the mix?
I've got to be honest, we're not doing, you know, my two sons are at home doing it. Every time I go home, they teletext or Sky Sports, and my wife's doing it, and my mum phones me up and says, you need this points, and then you've just said it, I can't get away from it. So I just want to have my tea and not even talk about it at night, but I'm having to. So it's been difficult, but I've not done genuinely. The planning and the detail that goes into the Watford takes your focus away from even thinking about what's going on down there. But the simple answer is I don't know. What I do think is that teams can't keep winning at the rate they're winning, because it's sort of belying belief at the minute. But it might happen, so we're going to have to go toe-to-toe, and the players are ready for it. They've got real courage. They've got real confidence from the performance and the teams they've already beat, including the FA Cup win. So we've got to keep building off that and keep telling this team how good they are and how good they can be. And I think you've just mentioned it before, there is much of a muchness in this league. There certainly is, and there's a lot of pressure on the top teams to win games, not just on the teams to stay in this division. And I think that pressure could be, you know, playing its toll. There's an opportunity to go up as champions for certain teams. I saw it at Hull. I saw a desperation in Hull's performance against Burnley. And there's a desperation to get in them playoffs. So there's as much pressure on them teams with massive budgets to get out of this league as it is for us to stay in this league. And that's proven an interesting point. We saw Cardiff having a bit of a wobble, Leicester having a wobble, Middlesbrough having a wobble before that, Hull having a slight doubt. So interesting to see how them teams are reacting to pressure as well.
I saw a quote from you today talking about Jacob Mellitus' potential and, you know, what he could do, you know, still in his career, because he's still a young guy, isn't he? Why do you feel he has still got that ability? Because, you know, we started off at Chelsea, obviously. How has he got that ability to go up and play at the top level again? What is it about him that
I think it's habitual. I think that when you learn to become a certain style of player, it can become habitual. And the problem I have with, I call them ballers, players who are incredible with a ball, incredible executors, incredible technicians, they sort of go through the football life not understanding about the other side of the game that's really important to me, the out of possession, the hard miles. And somewhere along the line, coaches forget about that. And you can turn ballers, Jacob Butterfield's a prime example, and Danny Drinkwater, of players that, excellent technician, premiership technicians, but possibly didn't want to do the hard miles and the other side of the work. You have to turn them on as a coach. You have to turn them on to that. You've got to make them understand that side of it. But it does take time, because we're dealing with the habits here, and Jake's, being the age he is, has formed them habits as a player. So we've got to switch that mentality. We've got to switch that mindset. And when it does, I mean, this guy's buying into absolutely everything we're doing. you know, I'm at 94 minutes and the guy's still charging down and closing down the other night against Brighton. But when he's on the ball, there's no better technician in this league, you know, with his passing ability, with his creative vision, with his awareness. You can't buy that. That's been created at Chelsea, plus with a lot of other bad habits. So we've just got to try and turn all them habits that he's never learned into something that's quite special. Then he becomes a complete midfield player. If we can turn Jakes into a complete midfield player, we're not going to keep Jakes, no doubt about that.
When we spoke to Keith about sort of projects like that, he loved a project, and he'd often talk about, I like to get these guys in who are maybe a rough diamond and polish them up. Do you sort of share that same sort of, do you thrive on stuff like that?
That's what I'm about. You know, I'm a dad. I love being a dad. I love developing my own players. And I think the young players that I do work with back in Bolton, it gives you that. You've got to have patience. You've got to have understanding. You've got to treat them like a dad. You've got to support them. And they'll let you down at times, but I love that side of it. I think we've proved that, certainly with Perks and God, if you trust them, and that's the biggest thing for me, if the football club and the fans trust these players, which the trust weren't evident when we first got them in. If we trust these players, you'll start seeing that after 30, 40 games, they can turn into diamonds, you know. And I look at your Steve Dawson's, your Goldies in that, Jacob Butterfield, Danny Drinkwater, Vaz Tay, Perks. You know, Wise, he's probably played, 40 championship games now. He's looking better. Tom Kennedy, Tom Kennedy's only played 40 championship games, even though he's been at Leicester a long time. Understudy to Konchesky. You know, I'd love to judge him when they've played about 100 games. I'd love to judge Jacob Mellis, say, after his 100th game. It'd be brilliant to see if that technician has turned into somebody who wants to be a part of a group and just works his socks off for a cause.
I think I'm right in saying, correct me if I'm wrong, that Ryan Tunnicliffe's got about another week, I think, is it, with the club? So have you had any discussions yet about keeping him here, and would you like to keep him at Hopewell?
Love to keep Tunners here. He wants to be a part of this. It's been difficult because he's been in and out of the side. And again, we took a player from the under-21s, and he can't do Saturday, Tuesday. It's too difficult of an ask. You're looking at them players maybe doing a Saturday, and that was the plan for Tunners. Obviously, brought Kelvin in the other night just for a little bit more experience, and Kelvin was excellent, but Tunners understood. He supported the group, and if Tunners is happy here and wants to stay, then we'd love to keep him. If Tunners really wants to play and wants to play every game, and it's Tunners' decision, then he might want to go back to Man U and seeks another opportunity. But we love what Tunners represents. He's got the drive, he's got the ambition. I wish we'd have got him at January, because now I think we'd have been seen a scary prospect. I really would. He's got power, he's dynamic, he's got courage, and I think we saw the potential in him against Man United when he's gone past two or three players. There was a real explosive edge to him, and that's that potential that I'm sort of talking about. If he'd have been on his 20th game now, I could imagine him being a monster in this league.
You said after the game the other night that you sort of picked up some of the ruthless nature that Manchester City showed at the weekend and used that against Brighton, and that is a good trait to have at this time of the year, isn't it?
In both boxes, games are won or lost in both boxes. What happens in the middle is the fight, is the scrap, is the battle, is the art, if some teams want to come with an artistry. But what's really important is that you show them ruthless qualities in everything you do, whether that's a cross, whether that's a run, whether that's a pass. Jason Scotland, the first goal's ruthless, Dagger's ruthless, it's a ruthless penalty save. You can argue about everything in football, and I do put it down to that, but to want to win so bad in every game, it does have an effect somewhere, and you can be over-emotional with it. But I think what we displayed the other night was a ruthless edge to winning the ball back and making it very uncomfy for Brighton to be a part of a football game. You know, Gus was moaning about the pitch. He was moaning about, you know, how we probably pressed them and the style we played. But, you know, the game's about winning. And we put two balls in the back of the goal and they put one in. The game's about winning. And that's what we did. And every single man, Chris O'Grady, I nearly had to carry him off. He put that much work in. he just said to me after the game on the pitch, I can't give you any more. And that's the spirit that we're going to need from every performance. And, you know, I'll keep going about till I'm blue in the face. It's something that's absolutely key. We've got our style, we've got objectives to our game, and we've got to impose that on the opposition. Or, you know, I might as well just say to Gus before the game, you have 3 points and just let your team play how they want. I'll cut the pitch for you how you want and we'll go from there. But I'm not going to do that, do you know what I mean? I've never lied down to anyone. And, you know, I ain't going to lie down to any competition this season.
What do you make of Watford? And do they have similarities with Brighton at all?
They do, yeah. You know, Jan Zola is someone who we gravitated towards on my air licence, my coaching air licence. He was renowned for being one of the best players in the world at one point. And he brings that to the table. He's got a vision of a football club. His owners have got the vision of a football club. And they've picked Jan to see that vision through. And it's a unified vision that they've got. And it's one that's this season been at times exhilarating. It's been powerful. They can counter-attack. They can dominate you with the ball. So they're not a one-trick pony, Watford. They've got a few different facets to what they do. And they epitomise what Jan's about. Because even though Jan was one of the best technicians in the world, for me, he's one of the hardest working players as well. So he's got that flavour's coming through in his football team. And it does usually reflect what you was as a person or player, your football team. So Jan's got that. They represent a massive challenge. And they move the ball about like Brighton. They've got similar players to Brighton. And they're a team in real form. And we have got to be out at best on Saturday to compete with a top Watford side.
You said that you gravitated to him during your A licence. Does that mean that you actually had a chance to spend some time with him, to work with him as well?
I just wanted a shirt signing, to be honest. No, we got the same topics as midfield players. We got the same topics, so we discussed them. We helped each other. We supported each other. Spent a lot of time with Jan down on me A licence. Mickey Mellon was on it. That's where I met Mickey. And it's weird, out of a group of 40 people, you might gravitate to 10, 15 who are like-minded, who are thinkers, who are deep, who've got similar philosophies, who approach the game very similar. And we saw that in each other. He's helped me tremendously when we turned when I turned the system round. I spoke to Jan and Roberto Martinez, spoke to them two at length on the system and how successful they were with it. And you know, he's helped me trying to get a couple of players in that we was after and some contacts. So, you know, he's someone, some managers don't phone you back, you know, they pretend to or don't. The certain ones, the best managers, they always ring you back.
Brilliant. Thank you very much.
Cool.